Has there ever been a time in your life when you had a vision for your life? A vision that didn't pan out quite like you wanted. You had a plan. You had a 5-year plan. You knew what you were going to do, and it didn't happen. And maybe you had your eyes set on a particular college to attend. Or maybe there was a job or career you had your heart set on. Or maybe there was a certain person that you wanted to spend the rest of your life with, but it didn't quite work out and they got away. Now, why didn't these things happen like you wanted? Well, I'm sure you have reasons. You figured out what happened. But did you ever consider that it was God who prevented you from getting what you wanted? We always think that God is there giving us what we want, but maybe not in this case. And maybe it was God who sabotaged your plans for life. As the great Scottish poet Robert Burns put it, "The best laid plans of mice and men go oft awry." Yes, sometimes our plans go awry. And if you did decide that maybe it was God working in your life, taking away what you had planned on, does that make you angry with God? And also, did you ever consider that maybe God had other plans for you? That this wasn't the route that God wanted you to follow? Well, we see this in our reading today with the Apostle Paul. Just a little background on Paul. As we know, Paul was born in the city of Tarsus. He was born with the name Saul, which he changed later on. He was Jewish, born into a Jewish family, a Pharisee family, in fact. Paul was highly educated in the ways of the Pharisees, even kind of brags in the book of Galatians that he exceeded all of his contemporaries in the study of the law, and he was moving up in the ranks of the Pharisees. Paul was loyal to God. Paul was a follower of the rules, and being a Pharisee was all about rule following. And one other thing, Paul hated Christians, despised them. In fact, dedicated the early part of his life to eradicating these Christians because Christians didn't follow his rules. He traveled around from city to city seeking out people who were worshiping Jesus and bringing them back to Jerusalem to be tried, put in jail maybe. And in fact, he was on a trip to Damascus with the approval of the temple authorities. He was on a trip to Damascus to find a cell of Christians that he had heard about up there in order to bring them back to Jerusalem when, as we all know famously, he saw the light. In fact, he was blinded by the light. For 3 days, he was blinded by this vision of Christ. The Christ who said, "Paul, why are you persecuting me and my people?" And Paul stayed there with other followers of Christ, and they taught him about the words of Jesus, and he was changed. And from that moment on, he committed his life to promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. And he did. He became perhaps the greatest missionary of all time. He influenced the church more than anyone other than Jesus. Our church today wouldn't be what it is without Paul's work and his writings. Now, as a missionary, Paul had a plan. He knew what to do. He would go to a town, establish himself, preach the gospel, turn people to Christ, establish a church, and then he would move on and do it again. And it worked. It worked really well. Well, until it didn't. And that's where we find ourselves today. They, Paul, Timothy, and Silas, went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. And then we find these words. And if you're a person that likes to underline in your Bible, this is what you want to underline. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Now, to be clear, Asia is not China and Japan and the Far East as we think of it. Specifically, this is Asia Minor, and that was the name of the Roman of a Roman province, which is mostly the nation of Turkey, right there on the edge of the Aegean Sea. So Paul had been in Galatia and Phrygia, regions within Asia Minor, trying to start churches, but the Holy Spirit forbid it. For whatever reason, we don't know. We do know that he would come back to Galatia and start a church because we have that letter to the church at Galatia, the Galatians. So, not able to work in Phrygia and Galatia, then they go over to Mysia and Bithynia, but here we're told the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So, they then ended up over in Troas, which was on the far west on the coast of the Aegean. And looking at Paul, he's kind of like a dog with a shock collar and an electric fence. He keeps trying to run off the property and gets zapped and coming back. I'm going to go out into the street. Zap. Arf! Okay, I'm going to go in the backyard. Arf! Zap. Until he's pushed by the Spirit, it seems, over to Troas. Now, what was the Spirit doing to prevent him from preaching the word? And we don't know. I have no idea. It might have been financial issues, might have been health issues. It may be that people just didn't want to hear him. It was the wrong time and place. But why Asia Minor? Well, for one reason, Ephesus. Ephesus was a large city on the coast of Asia Minor. And if he could establish a church in Ephesus, he could spread the word of Jesus throughout the world. People were coming and going through there. And he would eventually get to Ephesus, but not now. Not then. So they're in Troas, and Paul has a vision. During the night, he has this vision, and in the vision is a man of Macedonia. Now, Macedonia is just across the Aegean Sea to the west. It is the northern part of Greece. And in the dream, this vision, this man is saying, "Come to Macedonia." He is begging them, "Help us." Paul rightly interpreted this as the word of the Spirit, and so immediately he and his compatriots crossed over the sea to Macedonia. They went from Troas to Samothrace, over to Neapolis, and then from Neapolis up to Philippi. Philippi is a leading city of the district of Macedonia. It's the big town in Macedonia, and it is a Roman colony. Now, Luke, the writer of Acts, mentions other cities which are Roman colonies in his writings, but this is the only time he identifies a city as being a Roman colony. And I think that's important for him because it tells us what Paul is up against in Philippi. A Roman colony was established by Rome primarily as a place where retired Roman soldiers could live out their days. If you served in the Roman army, did your time, you could retire as a Roman citizen, which was a good thing, and they would give you a plot of land. So here in Philippi, you had all of these men who had dedicated their lives to preserving the Roman way of life against anything that might challenge it. And something that would challenge it would be the Christian faith, because the values of the Christian faith and the values of Rome didn't always see eye to eye. And so if you came in here preaching that Caesar is not a god, but Yahweh is, you're going to find some objections. So Paul comes into this Roman colony preaching about Jesus. It's going to be a tough sell. And in fact, as we read on after this story, where does Paul end up in Philippi? Everybody remember? In jail. Yeah, they jail him. He has to break out of jail. So it's a tough sell there in Philippi. Paul could not have chosen a more difficult mission objective than this city. And as I mentioned at the beginning, about our visions, the visions we have for our lives and how God may have a different vision for us, I do ask, did you ever figure out what God had in mind for you if your plans didn't turn out like you wanted? Did you ever figure out what it is that God was saying to you? And if you did, then you are very fortunate. You are blessed, but you did it because you listened. You chose to open your heart to God and listen to things that you may not even want to hear. Kind of like Paul as he's bouncing around Asia Minor. So Paul is now in Philippi, and Paul had a plan when he came to a town. He would normally, on the Sabbath, go to the synagogue. We read about this in his letters. He would, on the Sabbath, he would go to the synagogue, introduce himself, preach, teach there if they'd let him, tell them about Jesus Christ. Sometimes they didn't like that. But in this case, in Philippi, he didn't do that. And we're not sure why. We read, on the Sabbath day, he went outside the gate by the river, where they had heard that, you know, on Sabbath, there are people that gather there for prayer. So they go there and they sit down, and it's just women. And they speak to him, Paul, and they talk about Jesus and what they're doing. And as I said, this isn't Paul's normal modus operandi. I mean, if he wants to plan a church, then what he really should do is go in and find the town leaders, the important men, the bank president, join a civic club, establish himself, visit the synagogue. Because Jewish law required that to have a synagogue, you have to have 10 men. And if you want to preach Jesus, you go to the people who are going to be most acceptable to what you're preaching. But for some reason, they didn't go to the synagogue there in Philippi. Goes down to the river. And among those women, there was one named Lydia, who is described as being a worshiper of God, which means she's not Jewish, but she worships the God of the Jews. And she is also a dealer in purple cloth, which is interesting. Purple was a very expensive color to have a dye for. So only people who could afford the most expensive things would wear purple. Purple is associated with royalty, primarily because of the cost of purple. And as a dealer in purple, that meant she was probably pretty well off herself. She was an established businesswoman. She is also from the city of Thyatira, which is not Philippi. It's not in Greece or Macedonia. It's actually back in Asia Minor. So he's come all this way from Asia Minor to meet someone from Asia Minor. We have a rule in Bible scholarship that if someone is mentioned by name, they were probably well known to the church. So we can assume that this person, Lydia, was known to the church that Luke is writing to when he writes Acts. If he had said, and he met a woman and that was it, then her name has been lost. But people would go, oh, yeah, Lydia, we've heard about her. She was important. She did good things. So Lydia is not somebody whose name has been lost to history. She's a worshiper of God, a business person, and she's from Asia Minor of all places. And the scripture tells us that the Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. And all this makes me wonder, was Paul denied the opportunity to preach in Asia Minor and sent over here to Greece, to Philippi, not necessarily to set up a church in Philippi, which he did, but maybe it was all just to meet one person? Which makes us wonder, you know, what is being a missionary about? Is it about planting churches, or is it about making relationships with individuals? Seems in this case that is what is going on, that the Holy Spirit sent Paul to make a relationship with these people who are literally on the margins of society. They're not worshiping in town, they're worshiping out of town. It's not the men who run everything, it's a group of women out by the river. It's not people from Philippi, it's Lydia who's from another continent. That's what Paul has been sent to preach to. And her heart is opened, and she hears his word, and she asks that she be baptized. In fact, her entire household, her servants, her workers, anybody that she was responsible for, they were baptized there in that river. And she asks this question, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, then I want you to come and stay at my house. So all of a sudden, the tables have been turned here. She is showing Christian hospitality to the missionary. And she would also, more than likely, become a financial supporter of Paul's mission work. As I said, Paul will found a church here in Philippi. We know because we have the letter to the Philippians. And Paul never identified any particular church as his favorite. But if you read the book of Philippians, it's short, it's only four chapters, read it today. The love Paul has for these people just oozes out of the pages that he writes. He's writing them probably from Rome, probably in prison, and he thanks them. He says, I want to thank you for the support you have shown me in my mission work. And that support probably started with the financial support of Lydia. Right here. All of this, the work and planning of the Holy Spirit. This Philippi mission was completely backwards to how it should be. Wrong people, wrong place, wrong continent even. But it worked. And we tell its story today because God calls us to places that we don't anticipate, to act in ways that we did not plan. And Paul here, Paul had the courage to follow the Spirit. Yes, when the Spirit said, go to Macedonia, they picked up and they went. They left Asia Minor behind. And that's a quality that sets Paul apart. Another quality that sets Paul apart, and we have to talk about it, he was a bit arrogant. You read his letters and you go, this guy can be difficult. He was stubborn, he was hard-headed, he was insistent on being right, because he usually was. He knew what he was talking about. And I can't help but wonder if, while Paul is trying to be the super missionary there in Asia Minor, that the Holy Spirit isn't coming in going, hey, Paul, you want to dial it back a bit? I'm in charge here, not you. You are working for me. And so sent Paul somewhere else saying, it isn't going to work. He would come back. He would establish a church in Galatia, establish a church in Ephesus. But not then, not now. We have our visions. We have our stories. We have our plans of what it is that we want to do. But we always have to remember that we need to be listening to God for what God is calling us to do. And that's complicated. And I would love to hear your story anytime. Share your story with me. Tell me how God has called you to something that you really hadn't anticipated. You ended up in a place that you weren't expecting, doing something that you hadn't ever thought you would do. Because when we listen to God, we may not hear what we want, but what we hear will change the world. Amen.